If you haven't already, explore the many ways to connect with our show. Watch full uncut conversations on YouTube, gain AIA-approved continuing education credits through Arcademy, and make sure to check us out and follow us on social media at Detailed Podcast. This is an original podcast by RCAT. Try the number one most used website for finding building product information and save time and money. No registration is required with RCAT, so try it today and get ahead on your next project. Visit RCAT.com. That's ARCAT.com. Hi, Charisse here, host of the RCAT Detailed Podcast. I recently had the opportunity to join the RCAT team at the AIA Conference on Architecture and Design in Boston. Every year, the AIA and AEC community convenes to network, share knowledge, and discuss today's most pressing issues. On the expo floor, AIA 25 fosters cross-industry collaborations and solutions across the entire spectrum of the AEC industry. I joined RCAT under the Big Red A to speak with several interesting people and companies who are delivering solutions to design a better world. We are bringing those conversations to you here as bonus content. Enjoy. Joining me today is Eric Van Diggelen and Matt Scott, both key account managers of architecture and design at Rubbermaid. And because I have two gentlemen here today, I am going to change it up a little bit for this interview, and I'm going to let each one of them tell you a little bit about themselves and their role at Rubbermaid. Eric, how about you go first?
Yeah, thank you. So I started with Rubbermaid 8 years ago, working on the West Coast in Southern California. I started out as a field rep initially for Los Angeles and Orange County, San Diego as well. Really what that involved was selling product to region, that specific region in California where they were interested in our products that we will get into in a little bit later. Recently, about a year and a half ago, I did get into this role of architecture and design for the West Coast. And so covering as far east as Texas up to the Dakotas and everything in between. And what that includes is working directly with architects and designers on increasing our specifications for the different projects they're working on, as well as enlightening them into some of the products that we are offering that they can spec into their project. So really excited about that. It is a new-ish target vertical for Rubbermaid Commercial, and we'll get into some of the products that could be surprising to what we have available for them.
Great. Matt, how about you? What's your story?
So much like Eric, you know, I hail from a different part of the country. Eric covers the West Coast. I cover the East Coast. So in similar fashion, similar role, about the same time and role as well. Really the big thing that I would call out here, just to add to what Eric said, is Rubbermaid is really married to this, you know, new LEED version 5 and really going after the sustainability of the market. How can we help in that space? There's a lot of things we do, sustainability lens, that a lot of people are not aware of. So we like to educate people on those exact factors. So that's where I would encourage anyone to have a conversation with us, especially in an architecture design function.
You know, West Coast is the best coast, right?
That is true.
That is true. 72 and sunny is not terrible.
Just checking.
Matt's in Atlanta, so California's got it beat.
Humidity for us.
So before I ask you to help me solve challenges and challenges we face, give me a 5-minute breakdown of who Rubbermaid is and what kind of products. I'm a spec writer and pretending, which is ridiculous because there's nobody on the planet who hasn't heard of Rubbermaid, but pretending I just came out from under a rock and I have never heard of Rubbermaid. How would you tell me in 5 minutes, how would you tell me who that company is and what you do?
Sure. So really Rubbermaid, a lot of people think about Rubbermaid, they think about exactly as you said, food storage containers. Yes, those are our friends at Rubbermaid Home Products. We are Rubbermaid Commercial Products. Yes, while we are partnered and aligned as the same company, both focus in different areas. So they focus on that at-home storage, at-home closets, at-home retail-based refuse items, or trash cans, as most people know them as. Ultimately, that's where they focus. we focus on the commercial MRO, the decorative refuse, the washrooms, the material handlings, even food service items if you're going to have a commissary or kitchen within the building. So really it's the full maintenance repair operation side of a building and then the base facilitation of those things within the building. That's where we play. That's the easiest, most basic example I get. And I could also give Eric some time to give some examples there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've actually been around for over 50 years. So that's why everyone knows the Rubbermaid brand. They know their product. They see it on their Tupperware lids at home, maybe the spatulas they're using in the kitchen. Again, though, that is all on the consumer side. What Matt and I are focused on is the commercial side of commercial durability. It's one of our biggest focuses that highlights our products, why it's improving on sustainability. It's because these products stand the test of time. They last over 20, 30, 40 plus years in the market, so a designer can be confident in what is being specified in their project. With that falls a lot of different categories under our portfolio. So really five main ones: material handling, as Matt mentioned, cleaning, washroom, decorative refuse, which would be our high-end metal containers, as well as utility refuse, which focuses on resin containers. So as we get into the products, we will get into that as well, but that's a quick snapshot of the history of Rubbermaid. All based in Winchester. Everything's being produced in Winchester, Virginia. That is made in the U.S. We do source materials in other places as well, and we are headquartered in Huntersville, North Carolina.
And that's for the Rubbermaid commercial side of our business. But we have a parent company by the name of Newell Brands, who also possesses a number of other brands that also play within some of these spaces. You might be familiar with Sharpie. You might be familiar with Elmer's, Inkjoy, Papermate, all these wonderful brands that play within our learning and development division as well. So we're able to leverage those tools within our portfolio as well, which makes that a very nice resource for us.
So as I mentioned earlier, I'm a spec writer. I write specifications for building projects, renovations, new buildings, all sizes, all types. Pretty much nothing is off limits. So I have a lot of exposure to a lot of different buildings. But oftentimes I find out during construction or when a project is being completed that maybe something didn't go right because I didn't address something correctly in my specs. It doesn't matter how long I've been doing this. I will never know everything there is to know about your products or anybody else's. What you become really good at as a spec writer is knowing how to do the research and what the right questions are to ask, and then how to incorporate that in the documents. So be as brutally honest as you want to. What kinds of things do you wish spec writers or anybody preparing the contract documents, drawings and specs, what kinds of things do you wish they knew or would do differently so we would have a better outcome when the project's being done?
Yeah, great question. I really wish that the architects and spec writers like yourself would know the full breadth of our restroom category. All of these things do need to be attached to the wall securely. That includes baby changing stations. That includes soap dispensers, maybe faucets, flushers. These are all part of the plumbing equipment that goes into a restroom that's important when spec writing. And many people don't know that Rubbermaid makes all of these different restroom products. And that it could include something as new as our solar panel. It's called Lumicell dispensers. And the way that works is the dispenser that fits both soap and sanitizer. It is hung on the wall. It's charged by indoor lighting as well as outdoor lighting. So that removes the need for batteries, which increases LEED scores for the building, LEED certification, and you don't have to dispose of the batteries as well. So it's its own power source to charge its own dispenser. And again, washroom, restrooms, fixtures, and materials is something that I do wish architects knew more, that Rubbermaid can be a valuable resource for them when speccing those types of products.
Interesting.
I would add to that a lot of our refuse products that a lot of people just think about a brute trash can, or they think about a waste basket. A lot of times with millwork inclusion or any kind of cabinetry inclusion, that is such an afterthought. And a lot of times maybe the specs that are written across different parts of the facility are varying sizes. So there's not really a universal size that you can use in every facility, but that's where we wish we could partner closer with the specifiers to understand what size enclosure are you planning on here. Or do we even need to be potentially designing a better enclosure option for that sizing that we're not doing today? So that's where if we're closer to our spec writers and our designers, we're able to even sometimes create custom products for y'all that'll fit your projects in the way you want them.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad you said that. I haven't had to do any trash enclosures lately, but I've done plenty over my career. And I will tell you that it's been a problem. We either end up with a trash enclosure that's not big enough
right.
for what they want to put in it, or it just doesn't appropriately accommodate. That often isn't thought about. They design a trash enclosure, then decide what kind of equipment they want to put in it, what kind of cans, what kind of whatever it is. And that's a real disconnect that a lot of people don't think about.
I'll give you a great example of that. We were working with State Farm Arena in Atlanta. They had 8 different millwork providers that had contracted on that job. So across different suites, across different parts of the facility, they did not have any single millwork matched across any of the providers. So we had to go through, and they ended up having to source 35 different liner types to meet their different millwork inclusions. So it's like, and if we would have just been in the initial conversation there, we could have said, look, that's a Slim Jim trash can you can buy at any Home Depot. It's a mass product manufacturer that's easy to replace should it get damaged, smell bad, or need a different color adjustment.
Yeah. Another example is a casino locally in California. They were replacing all of their millwork materials into a bingo hall, and they had over 500 waste receptacles that they needed for their drawers. The millwork was created before the waste receptacle was found. And a lot of times, if we are notified of that in advance, we can assist with the different specs that are needed to cut the opening accurately to allow that receptacle to fit into the millwork.
So, key here, don't let your equipment be the afterthought.
Correct.
Especially if it's something that the building person or the owner of that building might have to repeat purchase later. If it's not something they can find easily, then that makes it a pain for them, right? And sometimes that can hurt our relationships with our clients in future jobs, especially if it's somebody that has multiple locations.
Absolutely. So what about construction? The construction phase. I mean, I have never worked on a project that didn't have one good construction story. What kinds of things do you encounter during construction that you wish contractors would do better? Or maybe somebody like me could put something in my specs to prevent that happening during construction?
I'd say for us, the biggest thing for the construction teams, you know, a lot of times they use a lot of our products today, Brutes and Slim Jims and dust brooms and pans and push brooms. I'm more on the cleaning side of the world, right, for them. And it's interesting because a lot of them are not aware of some of the facilitation tools we provide in that space. For example, instead of watching somebody throw a 55-gallon Brute on their back and carry 200 pounds down a set of stairs and potentially be a liability of falling, hurting themselves, injuring their back, we make a dolly that'll roll down the steps slowly, save their back, and prevent injury. So a lot of times it's, how do we get closer with your contractors that are going to be working on your projects from a specification standpoint and partnering with them with you and making sure that their subcontractors and the contractors have the tools they need to make sure they're not damaging walls, they're not damaging floors, they're not destroying millwork, and making those jobs a little easier on the actual users or builders in that sense.
Yeah. Ergonomics and efficiency is the forefront of really many of our products. And not only during the construction phase of gearing up to install the specified products, but during that whole process of carrying heavy loads of equipment from one side of a building to another or a construction site. That's when you deal into another category of ours, which is the material handling piece that carries thousands of pounds of weight with ease for that way the contractors aren't getting injured while they're installing the product. And we include all of our instructions and safety hazards with any dispenser or type of fixture in the restrooms that needs to be installed. That way they are easily accessible for the contractors to install and understand how to do it accurately and efficiently.
Well, I will tell you one thing, as far as your material handling, we don't address that in specifications,
right,
because we can't dictate how the contractor does their job. We can tell them what we need to happen. We need this building. It has to have these things done. We can tell them their installation requirements. We can't tell them how to do their work, and we can't address safety. It's a contractual risk issue. So because safety is 100% the contractor's responsibility, some of that equipment you described, it's great to know that exists. And I would tell you, get out and talk to the contractors. Mm-hmm. We can't tell them to use it.
And that's where a lot of our relationships with the contractors typically stem from a little bit more of the industrial distribution community. So we'll call it Ferguson, Fastenal, Granger, Uline, Global.
Right.
And they're typically the ones that are partnering closer with those contractors from a building supply provision, you know, conduit wires, things of that nature that actually go into the building. They're the ones that are going to have a little bit deeper relationships there with the contractors than us because of the dollar spends there. Right? When we're talking about a $10 million building being built and they're looking at $10,000 worth of trash cans, sometimes it's hard to get the mind share there but that's exactly why these things get missed, right?
Right.
Because they're not the most expensive things that go in the building that are being so heavily focused on. But sometimes the little misses are what causes the biggest woes in the future.
Well, exactly. But in efficiency counts for a lot. Mm-hmm. Your two biggest costs, material and labor, mm-hmm. on a new building. And labor is huge. And if you can make that easier, and it does help, even though I can't put that kind of equipment in my specs, architects knowing about that and sharing that with other people in the community and seeing that efficiency. Everybody loves efficiency.
Yeah. And standardization as well. The familiarity of the brand. And again, maybe an architect or a spec writer is not in charge of what the contractors and the construction crew is using. But when that contractor sees the same brand that they're using for their own work, that they can now install and use the same exact brand as a product that they're installing from a spec writer, that familiarity gives them confidence to know that what they're putting in will be not only durable, but long lasting as well as
sustainable.
Sustainable. Yep.
So final question, and I'm going to add a layer to it, I think.
Yep.
So first is it kind of a two-part question. What would you really, really like people in our world, construction, architecture, design, to know about Rubbermaid products? And what's new and exciting that you want to celebrate?
So I would say the biggest word that really means something to us is durability. Buying something once and not having to worry about replacing it year after year, month after month, because component parts are breaking or something's not holding up because it's inexpensively made. We focus on long-lasting, sustainable products that will live within facilities for years to come. We actually had a competition a couple of years ago where we ran to see who had the oldest Brute in the country. Somebody returned us a Brute from 1972.
Wow.
So it's that level of durability and trust that we want architects and designers to know when you put our products in a building, your final purchaser of that building is happy because they're not replacing it. And I can't tell you how often we become a second stage and third stage product where they buy an inexpensive product from a subcontractor or a general contractor where they can cut the budget spend a little bit, sell something a little bit less expensive, save some money on the project, and then that end user or the buyer of the building is actually having to replace that within 1 to 2 calendar years. Talk about frustrating. You talk about where we get to hear from the owner of that building, you know, a Cushman & Wakefield, a CBRE, a JLL, or whoever it is, how frustrated they are. They always have to change these out when these buildings are built by XYZ. So that's something we see where we typically are that second and third life choice product. And then typically there's not really anybody coming in after us because of that durability level. So we really want the architect and designer community to understand, put the right product in first that will last and be there for years. Because when we talk about the sustainability of our planet, that's a great way to start, is not having to replace things that should be the best product in the industry to begin with. That's how we feel about it.
Couldn't agree more.
And to add to that, the sustainability piece is, I know I mentioned at the beginning, but the LEED certification. That's so important right now to have a building be sustainability approved. A lot of our products in the new version that LEED is launching covers that. They get a lot of high scores, different metrics that our products fall under for that LEED certification. And with that, we're actually launching a new continuing education course that should be ready in August. And that is centered around sustainability and how our products really affect and enhance an architect's project with that continuing education course. We also have new BIM models and CAD available through RCAT with our partners at RCAT. And we're on SpecLink as well. And these are all new launches that we've launched over the last 18 months to really dive into this A&D industry and make sure that we're providing what the resources and the support that is come to be expected when specifying products.
Gentlemen, I learned a lot today. So you guys talked about some products and things that I'm like, really? I had no idea. So some of those bathroom fixtures, like Rubbermaid does that. So thank you for that, because now it's one more avenue, one more rabbit hole I get to go down at work, which is all I do all day. I really appreciate you both taking the time to join me today.
Is it possible for us to add a challenge for the design community that I would like them to think about? As
sure.
We're designing buildings. So one of the biggest trends from our property management groups of the world, the ABMs, the flagships, the big building managers of the world, centralized waste. Might be a term you're familiar with, might not be. What I'll put it in layman's terms as is they are pulling all the trash from these big venues into the basement and they're hand sorting it. Hand sorting every piece of trash that goes through a stadium. You wanna know why? Because they can vastly improve their waste diversions for league. And they can have a much better, cleaner cycle where they can actually work with individual providers like a WestRock to do our corrugate, or a plastics provider to create playground equipment, or every aluminum bottle that goes through this building can make our uniforms. These are things that what I want the design community to help us with is how do we create better flow for centralized waste handling in these large format facilities? How do we take the age-old idea of a trash chute and add a recycling chute and a compost chute? How can we take that to another level? So this is something I really want to put out to the design community. We would love to work with y'all from a product facilitation to a design idea perspective to make that a reality. So centralized waste, let that be a term that goes with you, because that is a hot button topic for a lot of these big venues.
I like it. I think you have a good point. So, okay, design community, you all have a challenge out there. Let me know when you got something to come talk to me about. And we'll have you back and we'll talk about that centralized waste facility.
I'd love to do that.
Great. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, visit rcat.com/podcast to see photos, details, and more related project and product information that we discussed today. While you're there, take a look around rcat.com. For over 30 years, RCAT has been the resource for AEC professionals to find the right products for their project. Try RCAT and see how their tools can save you time and money and help you get ahead on your next project. Visit rcat.com. That's ARCAT.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and sharing this with your friends. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back to share more stories and lessons learned to help you navigate your next project.